easier. So this is now we're getting to book capital B prime, starting January 16th, 1994, and going through to November of the same year, starting off with a continuation of the thoughts on duplicating the angiotensin and the atrial natriuretic peptide receptor A on Sunday, January 16th. Proposed constructs for the duplication and deletion again, making the same pieces and using the same pieces and assembling them in slightly different ways to give a duplication construct and a knockout construct. So this is only in the sense of technical trick to you not have to make too many pieces too many times, so using the same pieces of DNA. So it starts off by checking 5' and 3' flanking regions for XHO sites, Sunday, January 16th, page 3. This is just little bits and pieces of making things. For example, page 13, Wednesday, January 19, subcloning, Sal, Eeg, a fragment of the 5' flanking region. Both are fine, two candidates, both are fine. One slightly better than the other in concentration. Changing sites, the following page. So, page 19 here, Sunday, January 23rd, on the atrial natriuretic peptide receptor A duplication, all but one of the fragments are now available, but with some ambiguity in the 3' flanking. So assemble them, etc. Subcloning pieces. First attempts at making a complete construct for the a natriuretic peptide receptor one, changing the name from atrial natriuretic peptide receptor A now to natriuretic peptide receptor A, so NPR instead of ANPRA, NPR one, natriuretic peptide receptor one, the new name. First attempts at making the complete construct. On page 25, Friday, January 28th. This was the ligations, blue ligation and a red ligation. And there were quite good proportions, etc. So, first cloning of the NPR1 duplication. VSL colonies, page 29, February 2nd, Wednesday. These are No, these are the construct, not the ESL. Still at the construct stage. A design error detected. On page 31, Thursday, February 3rd, B prime, that's B prime 24 squared minis means repeat of the experiment previously done, page 24 minis, and with a little conclusion, three conclusions. The glorious yield of the three prime fragment construct, probably closer to 7.1 kb than 9, but here is a diagram of what was being assembled, and many here were 54 or more colonies being looked at. Yeah, in fact, it looks like 80 colonies were looked at altogether.
Oh, I know that one. It was like it's a tree, so they were hanging down, and I tried to get it to stay up. Oh no, I think it is. It's just
packaged. But you need to correct the design of NPR1 duplication. And there's the new design on page 33, Thursday, February 3rd. February 11th, Friday, a note, page 45, an ice storm day. But the work goes on, looking at preparing a not H1, not H8, not XHO to XVAR fragment of the TKG. In conclusion, 2S is terrific. So we go on a second attempt at making the construct for the natriuretic peptide receptor 1 duplication on Friday, February 11th, page 47. Second attempt at making the construct. Testing these products on the following page. Still no good. The conclusion one, very odd. Whatever it is, it has an XHO1 on the south side, an XBAR side, and several Hindi 3, but still no good. Let's try the ligation again. Third new ligation on the following page, Sunday, February 13th. And some ligation products visible. Proceed to prepare more. So here we are on page 55, Tuesday, February 15th, third attempt at the making the construct. The proportions of the fragments in the construct were good. You can see that the ligated products. Go ahead and repeat the transformation. And to see B prime 64 for the product. So retransformation, page 57. testing on page 59 and on page 61, rescue of the last available bee prime, 51 colonies. At least blue looks safe. And so testing MPR1 duplication blue tests on page 63. One looks promising. But the colonies were small on the bacterial plates. So repeated the ligation, the red ligation, the one for the knockout, if I remember. On page 65, Saturday, February 19th, but the conclusion is that none are correct. Although, in doing so, another gel was run, and it looks as if B prime 53, the third attempt, number 31 is good. See later, page 69. And on page 69, we look at the MPR1 duplication, red, B prime 55, and there's the details. And on the left side, page 68, self-evident. Conclusion, but it is evident to me at this point. Testing. So, two candidates obtained out of all this were tested on Friday, February 25th, a cross-check of red 31 and blue 30, with a map of what one might expect on the page 70. Red 31 with all the sites shown, and blue 20. So one for duplication and one for knockout. And decided to relabel the blue 62, B prime 62 blue 30, call it blue 30. And the red one, call red 31. Working on blue 30 on page 73, Saturday, February 26, converting the duplication construct to the deletion construct, etc. Some thoughts on what to do and an experiment. But then worrying about B prime 62 blue 330 has XHO as expected, but too many EEG sites. So things are not quite as they should be. Page 74 has a summary of the East situations, of the East experiments. I think prepared by John Craigie. It's a very neatly typed record of what had been happening on the various days. Positive control, etc., base duplication with the nail reverse, etc., on different pages. And suggesting Thor 3D for the chromosomes, and Thor 5A and 6D for substance, etc. So a detail of what needs to be done yet for the East situation. So, looking at the renin-angiotensin system, on Tuesday, March 29, page 77, and this is with respect to I think with respect to the H gene, but it's not very clear. That thinking about situations where 1, 2, 3, and 4 gene copy animals are normotensive, and that assuming that the corrections of either renin concentration changes, I began to think about some sort of product of up and down. So several assumptions there, and let's go over them again. That the idea being that if 1, 2, 3 and 4 are normotensive, and the assumption 2 that the corrections of either renin concentration, so that if the renin concentration changes, it can compensate for the increase or decrease of another gene product. And some thoughts about how this might work. I remember this thought being continuing as it does on the next page, Saturday, April 1st, page 79, further numbers. Assume production is linear with gene dosage, but that the 1, 2, and 3 copy animals are normotensive, and therefore make the same amounts of angiotensin 1, etc. And some attempts to integrate these ups and downs into a scheme. The scheme being written down on actual measurements being written down in a graph on page 78, that the gene copy number goes up, the amount of angiotensinogen goes up, 0, 1, and 2 copy. With the solid circles increasing. 2, 0 not being quite the same as 1-1. But the renin concentration being higher than normal in the 1-0 and below normal, or going down in renin is more difficult than going up. So increasing renin is easy to compensate for something low. Decreasing renin when something is high doesn't work so well. It became later on something that we were able to test at the level of renin production by the kidney. Some thoughts on page 81 of the PCR conditions. So might test with or without an editing attack polymerase. Note that on the following page 83 that the PFU definitely can be beneficial, PFU being the proofreading form of DNA polymerase. Testing more of this PFU on the following pages. More or less continuously. Page 89, Friday, April 29th, PCR continued. And here they're looking now again at the Teacup data for angiotensinogen and the gene copy number, the heart rate, and the blood pressure in very crude plots, but nonetheless, there, experiment number 3. The blood pressure does increase from one copy to two copies, two to three, the effect is considerably slower. Although, interestingly, the heart rate decreases very much more. Kim on page 93, Thursday, June 2nd, talking about the genotyping 2-1 versus 2-2 is somewhat difficult to test them. looking for some markers that might help. For example, Sylvia Madeline had tested quantitative southern for genotyping 2-1 versus 2-2. I remember we had a lot of trouble with that genotyping, very unsatisfactory. A better one was to do some mating tests. For example, that the better logic is that in the F2 animals, the heterozygotes are always B6 and 129 derived, whereas the homozygotes are all B6 if they're normal, or 129 if they're doubly mutant. So any marker closely linked to AGT can be used for genotyping, and the idea was to test a D8 MIT 13. And MIT-14, done by Kim, looked very promising to see where things were. And that test is continued on the next page or two. So, page 9. 88 and 99 have data on the mean arterial pressures measured intra-arterially, and the mean arterial pressures varied linearly with the copy number of AGT, showing the tail cup measurements were different, and that's what I noted in looking at the paper that was later published, that the mean arterial pressure was linear, but the tail cup pressure was a little bit peculiar. And going back to Nabuya's work now on atherosclerotic plaques, Monday, June 20th, page 101. That it was better to use a log distribution of plaque sizes, etc. And some comments on her work. Monday, June 24th, page 103. What happens when you're in different places on the Michaelis-Menten curve. And with some thoughts on where you are on the KM curve with respect to angiotensinogen. But a big note on the bottom of that page, shingles. I remember shingles and having to stay home for a little while. And I think it was the time of the trial of...
O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson.
Yes, of O.J. Simpson, right. And following all of the... It was broadcast continuously on TV. And since I had to stay home with shingles, I remember watching the whole thing. And the debacle of the gloves, which were foolishly introduced as evidence. Well, they were evidence, but the idea that you could take a leather glove that had been wet and then allowed to shrink, it got him off. And I don't remember whether it was the trial or the initial work with the detective. I remember it was a very fascinating spectacle. Some more equations on page 105, trying to think about how the system might be tied together. Beginning to think about clearance more, page 107. So here on Tuesday, August 2nd, thinking about the atrial natriuretic peptide clearance receptor. This was the receptor which had the extracellular domain would bind atrial natriuretic peptide, but there was no functional intracellular portion. So people called it the clearance receptor. Began to think about it would be useful to work with that. So got some primers that might be useful for isolating that gene. And here we go on again on page 109, Wednesday, April 3rd, 3' end of the AMP clearance receptor being sought using different primers, summarized on page 108 and on the following two pages in more detail. Probes being made on Thursday, August 8th, page 113, and on 115. 115, typical conclusion, something wrong, looking back, etc. But the gelatin good, etc. Rerun. Repeat of that attempt. 7L-8R clearance receptor, page 117. Still not happy with the gel. Prep gel, Monday, August 8th, 119, nothing very special. But a gap to the next entry being Monday, August 22nd, with back from the West Coast adventure. That was Monday, August 22nd, page 121. Two hypertensive papers off. To the journal and back from this West Coast adventure with Field Maury and George Bander. The shingles are now 95% finished. So here was the receptor probe being looked at, 5' clearance receptor probe. Now begin to think about what happens if a promoter is duplicated. since they antigenic locus in humans turned out to be different in the two human variants, the methionine 2, the methionine threonine variants, were linked, tightly linked, to changes in the promoter. So, as page 125 talks about the promoter duplications, over the last few weeks I've been considering how to compensate for a decrease in beta-globin expression consequent to selective and or advantage genes within the locus. One possibility is to duplicate the whole gene, but can't make a useful sickle cell model this way, or to put in a locus control region, or to duplicate the promoter. And the thought of trying to alter the level of gene by duplicating the promoter, and thought that let's try this with two promoters. The easiest way is to test it with the NAO gene, or can test it in the HBRT locus also, duplicating the, can test it in the HBRT locus, so it can have a NAO gene with one promoter or a NAO gene with two promoters, all in the HBRT locus, and using that as a as an easy way to get a single copy of the NAO gene. So go to the UZ14 cells, HBRT minus, make them HBRT plus with a NAO gene in the insert, or with two, with a NAO gene driven with one promoter, or a NAO gene driven with two promoters. And so I went back to Thomas and Capecchi's paper in Cell, where they describe a detail of the PMC1 NAO promoter, which is actually complex. It's not a simple promoter. It contains a polyomer enhancer, a TK promoter, driving the NAO gene. But it is possible to understand what it is, and page 126 shows the cassette, two enhancers, and the SVTK promoter, and with the sequences, so I can use that for the test. So here I'm trying to make two copies of the promoter driving the NAO gene on page 129, which I called NAO NAO and pro promoter promoter NAO, duplicating the gene or duplicating the promoter in front of one. So two copies of the NAO gene, or one copy of the NAO gene driven by two copies of the promoter, was a thought. And it's continuing to make this on page 133. And following pages. With them. Possible products are being considered on Tuesday, September 6, page 141, diagnosing the construct KH21 NAO was the standard construct, and with enhancer, promoter, etc. In front of it. So we continue on page 143, trying to get the nail nail repeat. An assay made on page 142, transforming, looking for a change in the concentration of on the occurrence of G418 and at resistance. In other words, targeted. This assay detects no differences. Papers and grants finished, page 145, Tuesday, November 15th, grants and papers finished. I'm back to work on the ATR1A duplication, looking at Masaki and Tom, success with the ATR, that will be Tom.
Kaufman.
Yeah, that will be Tom Kaufman. And the ATR1A disruption and its effect on blood pressure. And a look at where things are. Initial plans for a construct on Wednesday, November 16th, page 147. The homology of about 8 kilobases. But not everything is labeled clearly. Making changes on the genes, PMC1 nail, altering sites, Friday, November 18th, page 155. Page 159, and the book is ending by looking at the orientation of number 3 and number 12. From B prime 159. Thanksgiving Day, stained and photographed with the final map, number 3 B prime 159 and number 12 B prime 159, showing a map of these products. space here.
Mm-hmm.
So that I don't remember exactly where I was, but we're ending page 163, Wednesday, November 23rd, 1994, with these various constructs that contain part of the ATR angiotensin receptor 1A or the MPRA 1A receptor that differ in their orientation. The blue prime has X bar is an X bar fragment, and the red one is a BAM fragment. Now their orientations are the same. Their ends are different. One is an X bar fragment, and the other is an X bar BAM H1 fragment in the vector. So X bar BAM and BAM X bar really are the functional parts in these two clones, and that ends book B prime.